You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints up in Baltimore.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, break in day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
size and everything else. They just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a tree.
Somebody manufactured
this. The hand was freaking out.
Into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot creature lives.
Bigfoot lives. It's a movie.
Right now.
At www.
Right.
searchingforbigfoot.com.
What you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the cypress knee, and he was talking to Moxon Joe. Well, the party they're gonna have out in the St. John's Waltz. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. If you'd like to join us in our live discussions during the program, just dial in and join us at 347-996-5877. That's 347-996-5877. Just dial in and wait for the moderator to announce your area code and bring you on to the show. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Good evening, everybody. This is Marco Bill, and myself and Alex will be hosting the show tonight. Tom got called away. Actually, he had a personal issue he had to take care of. It was an urgent one. It just came up recently here this afternoon. First of all, before we start the show, I'd just like to apologize. The last two shows, Blog Talk had a major casualty 2 weeks ago, and last week the conference line, due to probably weather, had major casualties on the conference lines. And I just want to apologize to all you folks out there for putting up with it. It took me an extremely amount of time to get the radio show archived with pieces of recordings. But it all turned out, and I got it posted finally yesterday. So I'd like to say hi to everybody. Alex, how are you doing tonight?
Doing excellent, Marco. How about yourself?
I am doing great. Would you like to do a little bit of a shout-out to all of our folks out there and some specials that you might have?
Just now arriving at the compound, so I don't know who's in the chat room yet, but I'd like to do our regular shout-outs. Very special one tonight. We want to do a shout-out to Larry Jenkins, Mr. Toenail himself. Larry's in the hospital tonight, so we just want to wish him well and let him know that we're all thinking of him. Tom, you know, I'm sure knows by now because I've told him, sent him messages. Java Bob knows, you know, we're all pulling for Larry. He's having just some stomach problems, so hopefully he'll be fine. But, geez, he just got back from the cabin and, you know, Monday and ends up in the hospital Tuesday. So thank God nothing happened to him while he was up in the cabin and couldn't get any help or get any, you know, have any way to get to a hospital. So Bigfoot, he'll be okay. And then we want to give a special shout out to Mitch Waite, to AP, to Vic, to Jeff, to John, to all the Arizona Bigfoot people, all the researchers out there, Mary, Dave, and everyone. You know, just a regular, happy, how do you do? We're one big family. And when I get in, maybe we can do another shout out to the people in the chat room. And you got a great show for us tonight, right, Marco?
Absolutely. Before we start it, what I'd like to do is tell everybody our first guest, Jan Allen. If you go up on www.bigfootlive.com tonight, under the each of the segments, you'll see some links. And in those links, you'll see what the subject, there are pictures and other things that are associated with the subject of the of each of the guests. So if you go up there, take a look at those. Let's just make it a little easier for everybody. I know Jan is on here. Are you ready to go, Alex, or?
Definitely.
Okay. Well, let's get Jan on. Good evening, Jan. How are you?
Hey, Alex. Hi, Jan. How are you? How's it going?
Doing good, buddy. Been a long time no hear.
Really? How's things where you are?
I got all kind of noise in my ear.
That's Alex's phone feeding back there. I think he might have...
Now, that was the garage door being closed in my office.
Oh, Lord. Blew my eardrums out. Can you hear me now?
So, Jan, what's going on in your neck of the woods? What do you got for us tonight?
Well, buddy, last week it snowed here, and it don't snow a lot down here where I'm at in Georgia. I'm in south central Georgia. And it had snowed about 3 inches, and I'd went outside. Well, me and the wife, we had played outside in the yard pretty much of the day. And that evening, right before sunset, I had went outside and was walking around just taking pictures, and I went toward the back of the yard, probably 150 yards to the wood line, and was, you know, taking pictures of the woods and stuff, and something told me to go in the woods down toward a ravine where I found some prints last year. And I started down through there. I walked, I guess, about 35 feet, something like that, and, I mean, everything was just snow white. And all of a sudden, just out of my peripheral vision at about 2 o'clock was this big black object. It was, I would guess, probably about 40 feet away from me. And it was standing there, and I was standing where I was. And I was like, I looked like a gopher sticking his head up out of a hole looking around. I was bending down, leaning side to side, trying to get a better look. And it never moved. And so I stood back up, and I took a picture of it. And I moved to my left about 30 feet to a clearing to try to get a better view on it. And by the time I moved over there and looked back, it wasn't there no more. And so I backtracked myself and went, followed my tracks in the snow, went back up to where I took the original picture at, and it wasn't there anymore. And I have been, this thing's been playing around here since back in June. I'd went out in the summer to carry my dog out one night, and we was hearing, started hearing real heavy breathing off in the woods, and you could tell that these breaths were coming from a massive set of lungs. And this went on for about a week, and in July, I found prints down in the ravine that were 14 inches long. I took pictures of them. I don't know if I ever sent them to Marco or not. I think I did.
Yeah, you did, Dan.
Yeah, and then in September, my wife was she was washing dishes, and she went to the back door and looked up toward the back of the yard, and she said that she saw three creatures at the back of the yard. And she come to me. I was in the computer room. And she asked me, she said, why would there be a black family at the back of the yard? And so I got up and went and looked. I didn't see anything, but she described them, and she said one was real tall. The other one was standing next to it, was somewhat shorter, and then there was the little one. And by the time she came and got me, they had left, and that was in September. Other than that, up to about January, we just had, like, you know, some, like, rocks or pebbles and stuff bouncing off the you know, side of the house.
So they wanted me to come out and play.
Yeah, wanted me to come out and play. Yeah, sounded like it. So in January, last month, we had went outside, was taking the dogs out, and Renda had went out into the backyard, and something from where we got our trash pile out had threw something, and it bounced off the fence. And she was like, something just threw something at me. And, of course, you know, she's typical 65-year-old woman, you know, ain't afraid of nothing. She's like, you know, throw it again. And so anyway, we went back in the house, and I went out to our van, I don't know, about 10 or 15 minutes later to get some papers out. And while I was out there, I was shining a light around up in the woods up on a big hill right over next to where the trash pile is. There's a real big hill. And I shined up toward the top of the hill, and just for a split second, I got the biggest set of emerald green eyes. And it was like when the light hit them, they just, like, it, whatever it was, closed its eyes. And
right.
I didn't see anything after that. We went up and looked around, and there was just so much foliage and stuff on the ground that, you know, you really couldn't find anything as far as tracks went, but you could tell whether the ground had been tore up where something had moved around. And then, you know, last week, here we are with this picture, and what I understand, Tom has sent it off to a lab. But I was talking with Jack, my partner, and he brought up an interesting subject about it, was if you look at the picture, all of the limbs and everything in the picture have snow on them. I mean, it doesn't matter even how small they are, they have snow or ice on them. And if you look past that to the object itself, the object does not have any snow on it whatsoever, which tells me that it wasn't a stationary object.
It's just recently got there. So set us up now. What we know you're in Georgia, but without giving us exactly where this is, where are you in relation to a major city? What's the area like? What's the elevation? What's the terrain like?
Well, I'm about probably 60 miles to the southwest of Atlanta, on 85 south going toward Montgomery, Alabama. Have you ever heard of West Point Lake?
I haven't, but I'll bet Tom and the crew have, because they've been all around that area.
Yeah, West Point Lake is a big lake. It's right outside of LaGrange, Georgia. And it goes into Alabama. It's the Chattahoochee River feeds it. In fact, you know, as far as water source, I'm just ate up with water source. The lake is like 4 miles from me. I've got the Chattahoochee River not a third of a mile away from me. Population-wise, it's populated, but it's not like the outskirts of a city. You know, the homes are pretty spread out, and there's still a lot of wooded areas through here. I went the other day across the road on the back part of the property and was looking over there. There's a ravine over there that's probably 30 feet deep and at some places probably 70 or 80 feet wide. And this travels in a direction toward West Point Lake. And, you know, if I wanted to stay hid from something, that would, or from someone, that would be the place I would do it. That would be my travel route. And we're going to start checking that actually probably by this weekend. I'm going to go do just a thorough walk through and, you know, see what we can find.
Well, you be careful, because a 14-inch print, you're probably talking 7-8 foot tall creature.
Oh, easy. Easy. Well, this would make the 8th one that I've seen, so, you know, it's not that, I'm not afraid of them. You know, the one that I seen the other day didn't scare me. It was just more of a, you know, a bit just being startled. But, you know, that curiosity was there, too, so I had to try to get closer and get better pictures. And while I was in that process, it decided it didn't want to be there no more.
I'll tell you what, Jan, I posted the pictures you sent me on the website. And I just posted two of them. The one that was the original one, and then the close-up one. And so we can have our listeners go up there and take a look at it. And while they're still being evaluated, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show tonight and sharing. By golly, I tell you, it's been a while since we've had you on the show.
It's been a while.
Yeah, but thank you, Jan. I appreciate it.
It's no problem at all, and I'll keep you posted on what I find as I find it.
Oh, absolutely. And we're going to, well, I'll say goodnight to you now, but you can still, I'm going to mute you out, but you can still listen to the rest of the show. We'll go to our next guest. Thanks, Jan,
okay,
for coming on. Take care.
All right. Y'all have a great one.
You too. Ladies and gentlemen, Jan Allen. And, well, Alex, our next guest is Bill. And he's recorded, over 100 sounds, recording vocalizations. And also, his parents have had a history since 1932 of seeing the creature. Wow. Let me bring Bill on. How's that?
Excellent.
Can you, are you still there, Alex? Did I get you?
I'm still here.
Oh, okay. I thought I lost you. I don't want any technical difficulties. Bill, how are you tonight? Say hi to Alex.
Hello. Hey, Bill. So, Bill, how are you? And introduce yourself. Tell everyone a little bit about yourself and where you guys are in Missouri, and how you've been recording these sounds for such a long, long time.
Well, I know a little bit about them, not a lot.
Are you there, Bill?
Yes, I'm here. Go ahead.
So now, how many different sounds do you have recorded?
Oh, I've probably got like 100 hollows, where they're hollering at you know, whatever they're hollering at, and screams. And then I also have them where they imitating bluebirds in the middle of the night during the winter. They're imitating roosters crowing. They imitate other animals.
We've just recently discovered that ourselves, Bill, so you're 100% right, or at least we think you are. Out here, we've been getting some good recordings in the Arizona area. It seems like everybody that I know that goes out searching has recorded the same familiar whooping sound. JC's recorded it. Mitch has recorded it. I've heard it with Mitch. I think it's pretty much the same sound that some of the other Arizona guys have recorded, too. It's a whooping sound, and they seem to call each other and answer. And then we've heard them imitating other sounds, too, whether it be people with speech or animals, like you said.
Yes, yes. In fact, I left a recorder going every night, and they record 6 hours a night. I've done this for approximately 7 months in one area. And I have a recording of what we think is him coming up to the mic and speaking to us. Now, which is very exciting.
So did he try to speak a language? Did he speak English?
It sounded like he was imitating us. It wasn't the normal sound that I've heard from a Sasquatch. He sounded like he was trying to be one of us.
Gotcha. And
you know, my parents, when I was just a child, would tell there was five of us kids at home, and our parents would tell us of the Sasquatch that they seen. They seen them, and my uncle seen them, and they would tell us this story before the Patterson deal came out. It was before that they told us these about these.
And did your is this the same home that you're in now that you were in as a child with your parents, or is it a different area?
No, in fact, it's a different area. It's a different area, but them telling us the stories and stuff, I knew they, my parents were being truthful to me, and they had no reason to tell a story to all their children, and so that's what stimulated me to find out about them, and they're there. They're there for the people who would like to seek them, although I think that you see them and encounter them on their terms. They're not like hunting a deer. You just don't go out there and force the issue. I believe that they are very, very intelligent. That's my personal opinion. I've dealt with them, and you cannot trick them. You cannot. They seem like they're always a step ahead. Always a step ahead. Yep.
Really find them, they kind of find you.
Yeah,
that's what I've found. And you know, if they're there, they're going to know that you're there. And and if they're not intimidated by you, and by that I mean don't trust you, then they'll probably come and kind of search you out. But you know, if you're allowed,
right.
Large group, if you're shooting guns or you know, revving motors, ATVs, motorcycles, boats, whatever, then they might not come around. But you know, music or just kind of off by yourself, I call it not making a big footprint. And I think they're probably going to be a little bit inquisitive and come check you out.
Yeah, exactly. And for myself, anyway, I don't go out there swinging a gun around or you know, a sidearm or anything. I go out there, nothing showing, so that he feels at ease, because he knows what a camera is. He knows exactly what a camera is, I believe. They'll walk up on both sides of it and trip it off, you know, to cause it to go off for the game cameras or trail cameras. They will walk up behind some of the cameras I've got. They just know what the camera is, and they will have something very interesting. I set up a mirror trying to trick one. I set up a mirror and then set the camera looking into the mirror, because he kept walking up behind the camera. And when he was still, we got his eyes on video, but we did not get him. He was smart enough to still stay in enough shadows that all we have is his eyes.
We found just that to be true. We even think they can see the infrared beam. We're pretty sure they can see the infrared beam. So
I think so.
What people are doing now are making cameras that are tripped in a different way. And I was talking to one of the guys last night, and he's got a camera that he wants to test hopefully this week or next week. And I'm not going to give away what he's using for a sensor, but it's not visual at all. So that's what's pretty cool. And if you can make it work, this might be what can get it done, because there's no infrared, no FLIR, nothing that is visual to any spectrum of the eye. So that's you know, now can they hear things too? Possibly. So have you seen different creatures.
Well, Bill, we're running a little over time.
Growing up, Marco.
Yeah. And Bill, I just wanted to thank you so much for coming on and sharing your experience with us. Tom, when he's back here, probably he'll contact you.
Okay.
I think you sent him recording.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for coming on and sharing your story. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Very interesting, and it's very difficult. I'll tell you what, it takes a lot of courage to do this. Many people don't realize how much risk you take when you come on here and sharing an experience. So,
you don't think about it when you're doing it. It's when you get back. When you get back and crawl into your bed at 4 o'clock in the morning, and you think about all the things that you encountered, and then you get scared.
Yes. Well, thanks again, Bill, and I appreciate you coming on. If you want, I'll mute you out. You can listen to the rest of the show right here.
Well, I've got the computer in here.
Oh, okay. That's
fine.
Thank
you very much.
Thank you, Bill. Well, Alex, that was Bill Blumen. And we got Steve Dismore coming up next here. Steve has been away for a while, and looks like he's doing pretty darn good. Do you want to say hi to Steve? Steve, say hi to Alex.
Hello, hello.
Hey, Steve, are you there? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good myself. Telephone call.
You stretching that back out, or what? You going to get back out in the field?
I'm definitely going to get back out in the field. And, you know, I could have swore just as I was coming on, I heard J.C. Johnson.
He's next.
I've been out with Alex. I've been out with J.C., and I've been out with Dan, and I'm going to tell you what, everybody that goes out with Tom on these trips are just, they're all one of a kind in my book. Everyone brings something to the table, okay? Me, I don't know how much I bring to the table, but I know what I take away when I sit down and eat, you know.
The rest of us do, too.
But what I can say is the organization was top notch. I don't care what anybody wants to say about the organization. They don't realize how much money it takes to go out and do the things that we do. The time and the sweat and the tears that goes on just to do it, and how many people want to hoax you in the process of doing it. They want you to, you know, when Tom comes out, and or Java Bob comes out, or you or anybody else, you have to drive great distance. This is a hands-on operation. This isn't sitting on a computer and doing it. This is actually getting out on the road. And right now, with me being down, I'm in the background. I gotta call you guys and say, hey, what's going on? And when I look at, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say, what's going on in Kentucky? Anything new down there?
There is. What it boils down to is we've got about every research group.
That's the 94 countries.
Under man. It's hanging around in Kentucky now. Ever since they had the thing on TV about the hillbilly monster. We have got people showing up from Europe, you name it, people that I've never even heard of before. And since I have, you know, done some shows in the past, they do their homework. They get hold of me and they look. And it's like Tom said, he wished everybody could get together and do this thing as a bunch of friends and be professional about what they're doing. And, you know, I wish that could happen. Here's the thing. There's enough DNA, there's enough hair samples, and you name it, to prove that there is another creature out there that has not been proven to exist. And even more so, probably multiple creatures that do not exist in the eyes of science. Okay? Now, I actually went out. I'm down, but I actually went out and went to a boat ramp that was on one of the episodes of Monster Quest. I wanted to see if this guy was just pulling their hair. And I did some of my whoops to see if I could get a response. The responses were there. So, I mean...
LDL, or
this was actually off the Mississippi River.
Okay,
it's down toward my end of the state, but even further more so toward the west of my state. I'm in Western Kentucky, but it's very tip of Kentucky. And the guy had said that he had a van that was about tore, you know, that was turned over with him in it, and he was right. I believe him. I have no doubts of believing him because I can't do a lot of the scouting because I'm scared I was going to fall. I'm not healed up all the way, 100% yet. But I just went off the boat ramp, and I did I did my whoops and my hollers, and I'm definitely getting something back. And there's a difference between owls. You wouldn't believe how many owls I get to come, you know, call back at me. Okay, but I can distinct the two. I know the difference between the owls and the creature, because the creature, once you get his attention, he's going to investigate you. Well, an owl, he might play along for a second or two, but then he'll finally get tired of it and just fly away. But a creature, he's more persistent. He will try to get a look at you, and once he gets a look at you, he kind of reads you up and down. He's not necessarily going to leave the area that night. He's going to stick around for a while because you've triggered one of his buttons. You've made one of his calls or done something that is something like they do, and he wants an answer to this puzzle, too.
Exactly.
We are so close.
We've had them hang out at camp all day and night. My actual sighting, we had been having rocks roll at us and things going on all afternoon ever since we got back to camp. And Preston and I actually went on a 3 or 4 mile hike after one of these rocks rolled at us, and we probably went the wrong direction. If we got up to the top of the hill, we went right. If we had went left, we would have been right on him, because that's where I was when I actually saw him later on that night. So that's exactly what happens. The more inquisitive you make them, the more they're going to hang around. And, you know, our next guest, JC, and I found that out to be true. Of course, JC probably already knew, but when we were together, we seemed to be the center of attention on the river that day. So that's exactly true, Steve. You're 100% right.
Yeah, we're running about 4 or 5 minutes late. We need to... Steve, I just want to thank you for coming on the show. It's a pleasure having you back on here and hearing your voice again.
Well, I appreciate you calling me because I wasn't trying to run late. Something came up. And I was
Don't worry.
You call me.
No, you're fine. Don't worry about it. I'm going to mute you out, and we're going to listen to the rest of the show here. JC's next. So.
Oh, great.
Hang on.
Here's JC.
JC, how are you?
I'm awesome. How are you guys doing?
Well, I'm doing awesome.
Excellent.
How about you, Alex?
I'm doing excellent, brother. Excellent. How you doing?
Speaking of Steve Dismore, I tell you what, the whoops that the Sasquatch does aren't as good as what Steve Dismore does. He does better whoops. I'm telling you guys, record his whoops.
He's incredible at that. We need to get that recorded for my website.
The guy's whoops are better than Sasquatch. Sasquatch is up here going like, wow, this guy's good.
Isn't as big as Steve. That's why, Jason.
This guy's good.
So what's new at B4C, Crypto Four Corners? What do you guys got going on besides what I already know?
Well, you know, I've got some witnesses here. We've had some sheep killings. And I was supposed to go out tonight, and instead we're here cleaning rifles. But that's all good. we were going to go out to an area where we've had a lot of sheep kills and find out what's going on there and who the perpetrators are entirely. But I guess that'll be later.
Now, would this be the same area as your Tales of the Canyon adventure?
No, actually, this is near Newcomb, right? Newcomb? Gallup. Near Gallup, New Mexico.
Back down near Gallup. Okay, so that's a lot of view.
Well, we covered the four corners, so, I mean, I'm getting up into Colorado, getting up to Utah, Arizona, New Mexico, so we've got the four corners. Yeah.
Well, one thing I didn't mention before we started, JC, is I up on www.bigfootlive.com, under your you as a guest there, we have your link to your website. We also have the link to the Canyon Tales. And
okay.
If people would like to go up there and take a look. You do a very good job at representing the story with coverage and video. It's really good.
Well, the thing is, too, I didn't want to come out saying anything or doing anything I couldn't back up in video or witness statements or something of that nature, Otherwise, it's my word against the world. I want to document everything and have that documentation there and the videos there, whatever it takes to, back up what we're saying, that what we're saying is true, or true to as near as we can decipher the reality of truth and what we're doing, so.
Now, the video you just recently shared with us of the shadow person is pretty amazing, too.
Yeah, slow it down, send it off to whoever you want to have it analyzed with and so forth. It's 30 frames per second, and this thing materializes, takes shape, and then it goes off in the runner stance and disappears. It's amazing.
I wanted
to get that out there, and the young lady involved has had this shadow person involved in her life since she was 5 years old. And, it wasn't something I could sit on anymore. I wanted to get it out there and have people look at it and have you look at it. You guys have been privy to some of the footage early on, and I decided to release it with the video of the young woman.
And that's available on your site?
It's up on the same link as the Tales are. It's just before Tales of the Canyon.
So you have it on our site too, Marco. Excellent, excellent. Yeah,
Marco,
that's a great.
Marco Bill's got it going on. Thank you, Marco Bill.
Yes.
Thank you much. But no, go check it out. Go look at these things. And I don't want to draw anybody deeper into anything other than the fact we do not know what we're dealing with when it comes to the furry ones. And the furry ones were present on this property. And you'll see, if you read Tales from the Canyon, you can see the link to the footprints we found, the evidence we found, different things from this area. And we still have these other paranormal things going on also. And I don't want to take away anyone from thinking that Sasquatch is anything other than what they think they are, but I want you to look at all the facts, and I want you to listen to what these people are telling us, pretty much. That's where I'm at.
Excellent. And what went on Tuesday night? Is the show back? What's going on with the show?
We had Joe Fax on. And his friend, Chuck, go to www.ufonut.com. This guy, Chuck, was helping Joe Fax with a Bigfoot investigation up in Colorado. And very interesting. Very interesting. Listen to the show.
Super. So we back now? We back for good?
Yeah, and the next guest I'm going to announce, this guy is big, He's kind of a ghost hunter. He's been working up in Washington with the Bat Squatch that's been flying around Washington, the Bat Squatch, and some other things. Very interesting individual. In fact, he used to be Mr. Disco. He has the world record on Guinness Book of World Records for disco dancing. He danced 205 hours of disco, which is in the past. You know, he's got all this energy now to do other things. So let's be glad for that. He's a really good researcher. He's a ghost hunter, too.
Super. So it sounds very interesting. And where can we go to see the show and hear the show and hear the archives? What's your website?
Well, go ahead and Markoville's got the website up on the radio page. Go ahead and link into that and go from there. And from there we'll announce our guests for the next week, too.
Excellent. So just go to BigfootLive.com or BigfootLiveRadio.com, and the links will be there to JC's website, to his videos. You got to see the Tales of the Canyon story and videos that go with the story. Simply spectacular. It's also in the JC section at my forum, so any of those places you can go check out what JC's been up to. His videos are always top-notch and usually pretty unusual. And what's the story on the river? How's the chicken fried steaks, JC?
The chicken fried steaks are kind of sporadic, doing all these different things. I'm thinking by the end of March, we should shake down into something that you and I could enjoy. And it's time for you to come back. Only this time, you're going to be in a kayak.
Excellent.
Not a canoe.
Have a good time.
You're down there in Mexico paddling a kayak on the ocean.
Right.
So that's good training.
We'll bring Eileen, too.
Good training.
She's been in the kayak on the ocean. She can paddle.
Okay, we'll get you another kayak then. All good. But yeah, I'm going to take you down to a different section. This section here, the different videos, something I want to talk about is we're looking at natural selection. And you see New Zealand, you see Australia, we've got these strange animals. Well, natural selection happens in the United States, too. When we've got an isolated river canyon where these animals would have to travel 100 miles to find water, they never leave. They stay
there. They're staying right there.
Yeah, they're not going anyplace. So we've got a lot of natural selection going on in some of these river canyons. And the porcupines, the snakes, everything else, strange things are happening down there.
Greasy bastards.
Have strange things to report. Believe me.
Would that be the greasy bastards?
Yeah. Yeah. And, I would like to, address something like the river chimp. Alex got to see a river chimp. It's a chimpanzee. I can't explain it otherwise. We've got pictures of it. We saw it. We witnessed it. It's a river chimp. This is a chimpanzee-type body style that we watched for probably 2 hours.
Yep. Then we paddled down to it, and it was gone.
But it is real. We have the picture. We saw. We saw what we saw. We have the pictures. It's a river chimp. And, there haven't been any Johnny Weissmuller films filmed out here. There's no Tarzan films filmed out here. So I'm not thinking we have any escaped chimpanzees. This is something else. This is a bipedal hominid hairy in the 4 to 5 foot variety that is seen on this river. Continue.
Now, theory on them. Do you think they've always been there? Do you think they've
migrated in, and like you said, they don't want to leave now because it's just too much of a hassle to leave.
As far as the chimp thing is wide open because I haven't done much with them. I haven't seen that much with them, but you and I got to share watching something in the chimpanzee size and stature and movement. You know, as we were watching this creature, we're like, that's a chimpanzee. But this is in New Mexico on the San Juan River.
It swayed, it waved its arms at us, it seemed like it was cursing us almost, shaking its arms at us. And
yeah.
And then earlier that, well, late, you know, that prior that, the night prior to that, we had the big water crossing, which was something huge walked across the river. We could hear the footprints.
Yeah.
Footsteps. So you got a little
bit of the next morning, we saw that perfect Bigfoot track, and you and I were going to get cameras, and 5 minutes elapsed as we were looking at this print. And the weird thing was, as we went to take the picture, whatever was standing in the print stepped out of it, and the river water filled in behind it.
Yeah, it was like we were looking at a pool that was still there.
Yeah.
Well, JC and Alex, guess what?
Time to move on.
Time goes by so fast. But, JC, thank you so much for coming on. You're always...
Bless you guys.
You hold my interest all the time. I love listening to your... You just have so many different things to talk about and tell. It's really a pleasure to have you on the show.
You're always welcome out here.
And I'm going to tell you, I went through the Tales of the Canyon. This is my third time, and I get more every time I go through it. But you've got some really good videos and things in there. It's really interesting, and thank you so much. I'll be posting your links. I'll be posting your links. Once the show is over, I'll be posting your links down on the page where people can come up anytime and take a look at both your blog and your website.
God bless you guys. Have a good night.
Thank you, JC.
Pleasure talking to you.
Same here.
JC, God bless.
Bye-bye.
And who's next, Marco?
You are not going to believe this. Well, now, you know, Jabba Bob has been, I mean, actually he's the inception of the SFBI team, and people just don't realize that. And so tonight, I thought it'd be really neat. I don't think anybody, first starting out, hi, Jabba Bob.
Hi there, Bill. How you doing? What a great show.
Hey, Jabba Bob. Nobody knows, how come they call you Jabba Bob? Start out with that.
Well, before I get into that, I got to ask you to do me a favor.
Absolutely.
Tonight we had somebody tell us they had a recording of this thing trying to talk in a microphone and jibber jabber like a human, trying to copy human voices. You've got to get a hold of Bill and see if you can get that, and we can play it on our next show.
Oh, absolutely.
These pictures of this chimpanzee that Alex and JC took, we got to get them on our websites. Come on, you guys. Don't let this stuff get away.
Isn't it neat?
This is great stuff. Well, and these are good people, so shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah.
Okay, now, the name Jabba Bob?
My copy.
Yeah, okay. The name Jabba Bob, what happened was this is all outlined in my book, Monsters, Myths, and Me. It talks about how I got started in this whole field. I ended up moving to a little town up in far northern California called Happy Camp. And, of course, there's absolutely no work there. It's the most remote town in the continental United States. It's at the center of three national wilderness areas, just very remote. There's more bears in that county than there are people in the entire county. So very remote. And I kind of retired up there, and my son-in-law opened up a restaurant and got this restaurant going called Indian Creek Cafe. And he was having a little trouble getting people to come in. He was not on the main street. It was around the corner. It was a pretty famous restaurant at the time, but, it had been shut down for a while, and trying to get it going again was pretty tough. So I decided I would help them out, and I'd rent a little corner of it, and I'd make donuts and serve coffee. So I bought an espresso maker, and I did my homework, learned how to make espressos, and learned all I could about coffee. And I opened up this little donut shop in the corner called Java Bob's at Indian Creek. Well, my son-in-law, for personal reasons, shut down the restaurant eventually and left the area. And you know, I ran it for just a short while, but it was just too much. I was retired. I didn't want to run a restaurant. That's a lot of work. That's way over my head. And so I closed it down. And all the people in town were complaining, where are we going to go to get our coffee now? You know, what are we going to do? And I told them, if you find me a place out on the main road, I'll open up a little sandwich shop, a little easier than a restaurant, you know. So they did. It was right next door to the Forest Service, so right on Highway 96, right in the middle of town. And I opened up a place called Java Bob's Bigfoot Deli. And the name Java Bob just kind of stuck. You know, I've been Java Bob ever since. And I called it the Bigfoot Deli because we're on the Bigfoot Scenic Byway, and everything in town is Bigfoot. And there's Bigfoot Campground. There's Bigfoot Trailer Park. There's Bigfoot Towing, Bigfoot Car Wash, Bigfoot Market, Bigfoot everything. And, of course, I didn't know a whole lot about Bigfoot. And being now having a business in town and kind of working my way out of retirement, because I didn't know retirement meant you were retired again. So not wanting to be successful, I decided I better get involved with the town itself and try and see if we could get some economic base built up. It used to be all logging, and when they had the problems with the spotted owl, the logging disappeared and got down to just gold mining, and gold mining, too, came under attack by the feds. They don't want people out there disturbing the rivers and whatnot, so they kind of slowing that down. So I was trying to figure out how to get some economy going there, and so I got involved with the Chamber of Commerce, became the president of the Chamber of Commerce. And working with them, I got to work with the Forest Service. And working with the Forest Service, I got involved and opened up the Fire Safe Council and became part of the County Fire Safe Council for Siskiyou County and started working with the people in the county. And got to know Marsha Armstrong, who's a district supervisor, and decided I wanted to find out what we could do to help the economy of this little town. And this place is just so beautiful. It's just it's like a jewel. It's a diamond in the rough, but it's way out in the river. Nobody wants to go that far. As a matter of fact, it's only 70 miles from the Bluff Creek area where the Patterson film was filmed. You know, so at any rate, I called out the economic division from the county. I had the county supervisor come and help me, and she came out to a meeting we were having for the Chamber of Commerce, and we asked, what can we do to boost the economy of this little town? And they said, well, you find something you already have, something that's already there, and you build on it. And so we had a little discussion, and we decided we'd pick our artist community, our artistic community, because some very talented artists up in that area, and they moved there to get away from people where they could concentrate on their artwork, and they're just extremely talented people. Well, after this meeting, one of the members of the Chamber of Commerce, who ran our little local newspaper, came up to me. Her name is Linda Martin. She has a website out there, too. It's a Bigfoot website now. And she came to me, and she says, what about Bigfoot? We're in the, you know, this is the Bigfoot capital of the world where we are, and why don't we do something with Bigfoot? And I said, well, that's a little too controversial for the Chamber of Commerce, but, you know, if it's something you want to do, I'll certainly support you on it. Because she thought maybe she could have her son, her teenage son, guiding people out in the woods looking for Bigfoot or whatnot. So she started going ahead and calling all the Bigfoot organizations she could find to have them come out and check out the area and see what's really out there. Now, at the time, I thought, well, Bigfoot, maybe, I don't know. Could be, but I doubt it, right? And she called around to every organization she could find on the web. And as it turned out, and this is a lesson I learned since that time, only one person showed up. and you can guess who that person is. The only person I know who goes out 24/7 and goes out and actually researches these things when something's going on. And that somebody was Tom Biscardi. And he was with a group called Great American Bigfoot Research Organization. They came out like stormtroopers. They went through the town. They just blew everybody away. They were way more than this little town could deal with. And they met at my deli because it was the only place in town that was big enough for our chamber people and them to meet at the same time. And I got to meet Tom Biscardi. And I thought, boy, this guy is sure full of himself. And he takes over. He just takes over the room. He's just so charismatic and, you know, but I don't know. Let's see what he does, you know. And he found some things that we thought were Bigfoot artifacts. And he said, no, these are not. These are bear prints and whatnot. As it turns out, the descriptions these trackers gave us fit exactly the stories I got from the people that own these artifacts. So I figured, wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about. And after the meeting, I invited him over to my home to sit down and talk. And I got to meet the real guy, not the guy that's all hype and all on stage, you know, all the time. And found out he's just a good-hearted, very passionate man. And he definitely believes in what he's doing. And I asked him, how are you going to convince me that this thing is out there? And he said, well, I'll tell you what. You just come out with us next time we go out and you see what we see, which is what he does with everyone. Well, that's what I did. I started going out with him and started seeing things, and eventually I saw physical evidence myself. It just blew my mind. I learned what was really out there. I heard about all these different stories and how these people, the people he refers to so lovingly as bottom feeders, were doing things. I did my research, and I found out, by golly, though, some of those things are true. You know, the Bosberg print, you know, that Grover Krantz turned over to, you know, and as claimed fame for, that was found by Ivan Marks. Ivan Marks used to work for all these people. And then they started calling him a hoaxer when they took his stuff and he started complaining about it. And to this day, he's referred to as a hoaxer. I met Peggy Marks. I met the whole family. And I think, in my opinion, what probably happened is his motion pictures were probably real, but his still pictures and his books and stuff, he probably took artistic liberty on, which was very common in those days.
So, drama.
Yes, I know. And so, anyway, that got me to where I wanted to write about what I'd learned, and that's what the subject of my books, Monsters, Myths, and Me, is all about. And it's available on our site. You get a 10% discount if you order it through our site, or you can get it from Amazon.com. But if you really want to know how I got involved and how this all started, get the book and find out what I learned as I started doing this job and how it's opened my eyes and how it's changed my life. But interesting stuff. And that's how I got the name Java Bob, and that's how it all started. And now I'm the vice president of the company. So changed my mind, changed, you know, opened my eyes. Things that I never thought were possible, I know are possible now.
Well, I thank you, Java Bob, for coming on tonight. And Alex, it's time to say goodnight. Can you give everybody the old goodnight shout?
Goodnight, everybody. Everybody keep Bigfootin' in your Bigfoot world. Goodnight, Java Bob. Goodnight, Marco.
Goodnight.
Goodnight, John Boy.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams. Break in day, we'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is like
everything else. They just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a tree.
The hand was freaking out.
Into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot lives. It's a movie.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests, Java Bob and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monster, mystery, mysteries, legend, tales, and facts.